Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. While maybe the two most common words in college athletics these days are rule change, and we've had another one kind of unveiled to us potentially on the horizon here with the men's soccer schedule potentially becoming a year-long type sport, similar to what you have with indoor and outdoor track and field, where it would happen in both the fall and the spring semesters in this college calendar. So with that potential rule change on the horizon and so many others that are already confirmed for this upcoming 2026 season, it was a great time to catch up with the head man, FIU head coach Kyle Russell, and talk a bit about his men's soccer team, how they're coming together, how he thinks those rule changes will affect his squad and the broader college landscape, and reflect on what has been a wildly successful run of play. Quick time out here on the FIU Athletics Podcast, and then FIU head coach Kyle Russell.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and as a former police SWAT officer, I know what it takes to build a great team and to be a great operator. I've applied these principles in building the world's only total relocation company. From listing your house for sale to finding your dream home and everything in between, Good Greek can do it all. Good Greek also offers junk removal and auto shipping to complement our renowned moving and storage business. For your total relocation solutions, go to goodgreek.com.
Good Greek Moving and Storage, your superhero movers.
Always excited to talk a little bit of soccer, especially down here in South Florida, especially with the World Cup right on the horizon. There's so much soccer mania down here in the 305, and so only appropriate we talk to Kyle Russell, the head man of FIU men's soccer. Coach, how are we doing today?
Good. Thanks for doing this, guys. I'm really excited about the fall.
Always. I want to start with kind of the breaking news du jour in our sport, which is the schedule potentially changing, not this coming year. You've already got, for the most part, a usual Kyle Russell schedule. We'll get to that in a little bit, but the following year. Turning to the pro model and making this both a fall and spring sport with the championship, the most important games to be decided in the spring part of the calendar. Your kind of initial thoughts on that, if indeed it does go through.
Yeah, so here at the end of June, we'll know officially if it goes through. I know we don't want to put the cart before the horses. So
right.
This is the most traction and the furthest it's ever gotten with the NCAA and the U.S. soccer being on the same page, and it has a lot of momentum. So we'll see here at the end of June, but it's exciting times for the game itself, because the idea is that you limit injuries and you maximize development, right? So you just take the games that you have and you spread them out during a longer period of time. You also miss less classes, right? So you miss less school. You have maybe one game a week, which allows more training time. And so, yeah, there's a lot of pros to it, but with any change, there's going to be obstacles that we have to figure out how to overcome. I think for us being a school located in one of the best places in America,
right.
We aren't really concerned with what a lot of schools are concerned with, which would be the climate. The climate in January, February, March, good luck in the Northeast and Midwest. I came from the Midwest. That's where I spent the first 17 years of my life in Chicago. So it is not fun to play on frozen fields in February. For us, that could be a massive advantage, but you're going to have to play some away games as well. So we're going to have to stock up on our cold weather gear.
Yeah, no doubt. That was my first thought, right? I mean, we've seen a program like Creighton come down here. We know how good they are. Or even Missouri State in our league. Springfield, Missouri in February may be a championship level match. It might be 15 degrees out. I mean, that completely changes everything tactically.
Yeah, go to Temple in Philadelphia. Or go to Tulsa, Oklahoma in February, March. No bueno.
That's tough. Some of the other interesting things, though, as far as the rule changes we do know are coming. The widening of the pitch a little bit, particularly interesting given both FIU's penchant for speed on the wings and overall in the American. And then some of the other changes, the bench accumulation for coaches, additional replay coverage, mandating the fourth official, some of the other things. Your kind of initial thoughts on some of those other rule changes we're going to see for sure coming up here this season.
I'm a fan of a lot of these rule changes. To be honest, guys, the way my mind works is like, I just want to know what the rules are.
Yeah.
So we can figure out how to have success within that. I'm not really hemming or hawing about anything that's changing. It's just like, okay, this is what it is. How do we create a competitive advantage? So I like that the field is widening. Obviously, with us being a pressing team, that makes it more difficult in how and when we press because there's more distance to cover. The amount of players on the field haven't changed, but the distance in which they have to run has. But it allows, on the flip side, it allows special players to show their individual talent. It allows wide guys to have more room to operate in wide channels, take defenders on 1v1. It hopefully will increase the time that the ball is in play. I know that's a big push for NCAA soccer because the way the rules have been created, the ball is out of play a lot. We're still working with amateurs, right? We're not working with professional players. So the ball goes out of play a lot. There's a lot of dead ball time. So I'm excited that the field is expanding. I think it'll be more fun for the fans because you'll see a lot more isolation in wide areas. You'll see a lot of, hopefully, a lot more connected passes. And you'll see a lot more opportunity for special. So that's a fun one. The card accumulation and it being, you know, if somebody on your bench gets a card, it gets counted towards the head coach.
Yeah.
I love it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Because that, for me, what that does is it just keeps your bench in order. It brings more discipline to the college soccer game. And you see it across the country. We've played a bunch of teams on the road or teams that have come here and are wound up or frustrated with whatever's going on. You'll see two or three guys that know they're not playing the game and they just travel just in case. You'll see those guys get injuries or delay the game or talk trash to referees. So it puts more emphasis on the head coach to, hey, run your ship well. Steady the steer. Make sure that everybody's in order. You can be intense. You can be passionate, but do it in a professional manner. And so I'm excited to see how this changes college soccer because all these rules will have an influence.
Yeah, especially in the South Florida heat, those bench yellows tend to rack up a little bit more. But yeah, on the widening side, it brings it in line with the international standard. Does that give your guys any additional advantage knowing how much Florida International University recruits internationally?
You know, I think you want to educate international players as quickly as possible because when they come here, it's like, hey, you're playing the same game. It's just in a different world.
Yeah.
And it takes them a while to understand substitution rules and card accumulations and things like this. So anytime it matches up more with the international game, it helps international players hit the ground running faster. But also, like, we want players to come to FIU and then play professionally. Mm-hmm. Like, that is a goal of ours. We're never holding players back or saying, hey, you can't leave yet. You know, you told us you were going to graduate from here. No, of course we want all of our guys to graduate, but a lot of the guys that we go after, the talent pool that we go after, they really, really, really are desperate to be pros. So if the game aligns with the pro game, if the college game aligns with the pro game, international game, it helps them in transition to that as well. Like, they don't have to relearn the rules again when they take that next step after college soccer. So all of these rule changes should have a positive effect on the college game. The challenge rule.
Yeah.
Right? We got to experience that as a conference. We only had one challenge last year as a conference. So, and it's like, we use it now in the first half. What's going to happen in the second half where it gets a little dicey? It's now a two challenge model for both coaches, which is good because we went up to the University of South Carolina. And I mean, that game was wild. There was like 10 reviews and the game was choppy and slow. And it was very frustrating because you don't get that in conference. You don't get 10 reviews and the guys are like, what's going on? How is everything being reviewed and looked at? So now I think if there's a rule across the board for conference and NCAA that we can keep the game flow going and everybody has the same amount, whether you're on the road or at home, it just creates a better playing environment and equal playing field.
And speaking of the playing environment and the international stage of it, we mentioned it earlier, but the World Cup coming to South Florida. I feel like every time we sit down with you, there's some breaking South Florida soccer news. A couple of years ago, it was, hey, does it help having Messi down here in South Florida? Now it's, hey, does it help having the World Cup down here and continuing to spread that soccer fever, not only across America, but all of North America?
Yeah, it's great, man. You see in these polls that soccer just overtook baseball in our country for the most viewed sport, because you still have football and basketball as the top two. Historically, it's always been baseball, and soccer has overtaken that with viewership and attendance. So that's exciting. The game's growing. Having it here in North America is massive. It's awesome. And sometimes we talk to recruits and we're like, have you ever been to America? And they're like, well, one time. Or a lot of them say, no, never before. And so now you got a lot of people traveling from all over the world. So, you know, who knows, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, you talk to a recruit and he's like, oh yeah, I was in Miami because I went to a World Cup game. So that's super cool. Having Messi down here, having Inter doing what they're doing is amazing as well, because that always helps, because you don't ever have to explain to a kid where we are.
Yeah.
FIU is where? FIU's in Miami. Oh, that's where Messi is. Yeah, exactly. I mean, my son just played a U10 tournament in the Dreams Cup. It's an Inter-Miami youth cup that they hold every year that they just started doing. And, you know, it's hilarious because the atmosphere down here, even at U9 and U10, is tremendous. I'm at these games watching my son play, and you would think you're at a college soccer game. How rowdy it gets, how loud it gets, when there's goals that are scored, missed call from the referee. And so the game is growing. That's another reason why I love being down here at FIU in Miami. It's like, it's such an eclectic, diverse scene culturally. People know the game down here, and they love the game down here because of wherever they came from before Miami. So my son's playing a game, and Messi's youngest son is playing in the game and on the field right behind him. So Messi and Suarez are out there watching the game. And, you know, my kid and his teammates keep looking back like, did Messi see that? Did Suarez see that? I'm like, guys, focus. Hey, focus on our game. Yeah, it's great having Messi here. It's great having the World Cup down here. It's great that the game continues to grow. And it's great that these rules are aligning with the international scene. It's beautiful to see how far the game's come from the last, 15 years when I first started coaching. It's changed so much in a positive way.
When you're at your son's game, how much are you dad and how much are you FIU men's soccer coach Kyle Russell?
Well, I was dad for about a solid month. And then the club approached me and said, hey, since you're out here for all the practices and games watching, would you mind helping your son's team?
There you go.
So very quickly, I went from dad for 1 month, hiding underneath the trees in the shade, to giving tactical information at halftime to a U10 team. So that's changed for me, but it's a lot of fun, man. And even, our kids are every day, can you stop at CVS or can you stop at Walgreens to get the FIFA World Cup sticker packs and do the sticker books? And I mean, guys, FIU, I don't think everyone understands. FIU just had the World Cup trophy on our campus.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Coca-Cola. Like, that is unreal. Mm-hmm. In line, waiting to show my kids the World Cup trophy and the history of the World Cup. We met people from Brazil. We met people from Argentina. We met people from Paraguay that flew here just to experience it and to see it. Because my kids are like, you probably don't care, Dad, because you've seen this trophy a bunch of times. And I was like, no, I haven't seen it. I've been doing soccer my whole life, and I've never seen it in person. So this is a really fun opportunity. And the fact that we got to host that here on campus in Pitbull Stadium, come on, man. This place is special. Miami's special. And to see the game grow while being down here in Miami, where it's one of the best soccer scenes in our country, it's been fantastic.
We showed a slideshow of that event on ESPN Plus, and a lot of it was you and your family celebrating and getting the chance to take it in all in. So it seemed very cool from your end. It seems like you guys really enjoyed that event.
Absolutely. It was amazing.
I want to dive into last season, and this is where I think you, your staff, your players deserve so much credit, because you look at the last 2 years, and each of those years you get to the halfway, three-quarter point, you're like, guys, we need to change something. We're going to reinvent that. And whether that's personnel, whether that's shape, whether it's tactics, each of the last 2 years, you all have completely flipped a few things, and it's led to a late season surge. You got a whole lot of momentum out of it.
Yeah.
What were the takeaways from last season and from these last couple years of experience that show you, hey, we can figure this thing out and give ourselves the best chance to win?
No matter what industry you look at, it can relate back to sports and it can relate back to soccer. And I'm a big believer in studying things outside of sports to try to tie it all in together, because the reality is soccer might be a part of everybody's life that I work with, but one day they're going to stop playing the game. So how can there be real life lessons learned and taken and implemented into their life? So farmers know that there's going to be drought and there's going to be rain. Right. And so as a coach, there's going to be peaks and there's going to be valleys. Right. And so we know that we could have the best recruiting class that we've ever had, and it could be a really tough year. And we know that we could have missed the mark in recruiting and suffered some injuries that we weren't expecting for, and we could have a great year. It's just there's so many pieces to this puzzle. But one of the things I'm really grateful for is working with Coach Danny Merida and Matteo Gasparoni. Mm-hmm. And then obviously having the support of my supervisor, Jason, and then Julie Berg and Scott Carr is a big believer in what we do. Having their support always makes you appreciative and grateful and believe that, like, hey, man, we're not on an island. We're not doing this by ourselves. They care whether we have success or not. And so our mentality here at FIU, as you guys have seen over the last years, is we want to win everything.
Yeah.
And if we don't, we're disappointed. But even in a challenging year, we're still going to squeeze the juice out of everything that we can. So I've completed 5 full seasons here, right? And multiple NCAA tournament appearances, multiple first round byes, multiple championship appearances in our conference,
yep,
multiple championship wins. So, but every year's been so different. Every year's been so, so different in terms of player availability, player selection, shape, the system in which we're playing in. So I want our guys to understand when they leave here that no matter what happens, you always have hope and you should never quit and you should never wave the white flag. And so you saw that last year, man. You saw that last year. We lost Eduardo Mustre to a hamstring in the first couple weeks of the season. And we waited a whole year for him to get healthy. So, you know, and he was a big time goal scorer for us. But our team, because they've been taught to never quit, because we recruit warriors, we recruit winners, they know, like, it doesn't matter if we drop a couple of games. Like, there's always hope. There's always another game. To see what they did to beat the number one seed on the road at home and then to make it to a championship game. Of course, we all wanted to win and we were a goal short of getting the result we wanted. Man, a lot of credit to the team we had last year, but a lot of credit to our staff that is constantly trying to solve problems. There's a way we want to do things, and then there's reality. You understand? There's a way I want my house to be when I get home. And then all of a sudden you get a leak in your roof and you're like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
How I wasn't, my budget wasn't planning for this. I wasn't planning for this emotionally. Now what happens? And you solve the problem. You get to work, you put your head down, you don't complain and you figure it out. So we've been able to do that here with the men's soccer team. And, you know, really excited about this upcoming season with the pieces that we're returning and the pieces that we're bringing in.
And you mentioned that transition of this year, right? You have guys that are now getting their second year of experience at this level, whether it's a Pasquale, whether it's a Gogo, right? These guys have played a lot of soccer, but now they get round two at this level with all those different collegiate experiences. How excited are you for those guys to bring that knowledge now to this campaign?
Yeah, really excited. We had a really good spring filled with professional games.
Yeah.
Because of us being in Miami, there's pro teams down here all the time, either doing preseason on our campus, like Atlanta United, doing preseason up the road, like Sporting Kansas City, or we're in driving distance to play Naples FC or Miami FC from USL that train here every day. So we're surrounded by so many pro teams to get guys exposure, to get good competition. We had a really good spring against some of these pro teams. And then a bunch of our guys are playing USL2 this summer to keep their sword sharp. We have a bunch of guys at Fort Lauderdale United. We have a couple guys at Miami City FC. Then we have some guys in Michigan. We have guys scattered all over. So the experience that we have coming back is exciting. The experience that we gained in the spring is exciting. But they're continuing to gain experience in this summer window, which leads us to a very optimistic fall.
And then on the other end of it, last year when we talked, you guys kind of went through the process and were like, okay, the things we identified that lead to success are age and pace. And that was heavily recruited by you and it showed, and the experience and the speed on the wings. I'm curious what it was this year. I think anyone who looks at the roster can kind of tell, and it rhymes with the NCAA tournament, but you can kind of piece together there and take us through the process of what you guys were looking to add to this roster as you were kind of going through the transfer portal and the overall player availability.
Yeah, so I'm always, like I said, I referenced earlier, I'm always trying to study outside sources. Like, I think one of the most dangerous things you can do when you get into your realm of work is only study your realm of work. And so, because then it limits your scope. So I'll look at the top performing NCAA teams in football, in basketball. Look at Illinois, right, in basketball. The turnaround that they had. And what was their roster? Hugely, hugely European, right? And they were shooters, and they were tall, and they were lanky. Look at Indiana from the NCAA, right? For football, right? Look at them. What were they? They were experienced. They were older. They were all towards the back end of their college eligibility. You look at Marshall, who's had success in NCAA soccer. They have a specific way. But then you also, at the same time, you can't limit your scope. Look at everything. You also see the Washingtons, who is very domestic, and they had a lot of American players, a lot of players from their states, a lot of players that didn't do well their first year and redshirted and then actually and did really well moving forward. So you're just constantly looking at what all these other sports are doing and trying to see, okay, how can we learn from them? Like the learning process never stops. And then also, you know, you look at the availability that you have, what you have to sell and what you're recruiting, but you also look at other fields. I love seeing, okay, this is a hot take. You ready for a hot take?
Do it.
You guys ready? This is off script. I love seeing people that aren't living in this world, the soccer, college soccer world, talking about what they believe the rules should be and what they believe the recruiting should be and what should and shouldn't be allowed. I love it because they don't live it. And so they don't understand that, yeah, we've made offers to 3 or 4 Miami guys, but guess what? They signed pro in Miami.
Right.
Because 10 years ago, there wasn't a second team to Inter Miami. There wasn't even an Inter Miami. Now there's an Inter Miami first team, and there's an MLS Next Pro team, a second team. So there's guys like Preston Plombeck that we made an offer to that we wanted here, and he's from Florida, and he went through the IMG Academy, and we spoke to him, and we had him at our camp, and recruited him and asked him to join our team. And he ended up last week, he came off the bench and was playing on the first team with Messi.
Wow.
And he had a shot in the first 5 minutes that he got onto the field. So it's like the players that we're going after,
yeah,
are high level. And a lot of times they're choosing pro because the opportunity to play pro in this country is greater than ever before. And it's grown so much over the last 10 to 15 years. But the hot take is, let's look at business, right? You look at any successful businessman, they have a product that they're creating and they're selling. They're solving problems, they're creating a product to solve those problems and they're selling. Where are a lot of those successful CEOs getting their products made? Is it domestic? Is it in America?
No.
Absolutely not. So I don't go into those worlds and say, hey, everything you do should be American made,
right,
and it should all be local, and it should all be, that's great. I love small business. I support small businesses, but these massive, successful Fortune 500 companies, a lot of them are using international expertise or international product or raw materials to help them have success domestically. In essence, that's what we're also doing in the college soccer world. We're bringing in some top local players, young domestic players, but we're also supplementing with international players that have experience, that the football is the first sport, soccer is the first sport in their country. So they grow up eating it, breathing it, sleeping it, studying it from such a young age. They don't have the distractions of other sports. So we have a really eclectic group, a hybrid group, which is kind of the direction we wanted to go into. And I'm really excited that how our roster is shaping up for the fall with the returners and the new guys coming in. You're going to see it's a little bit like Noah's Ark. You got 2 from here, 2 from there, 2 from here, 2 from there. And it's going to be a really fun group to, one of my favorite parts is trying to get them to gel as a team. So that's going to be very, very exciting and eventful in the first couple of weeks of preseason.
Oh, you mentioned that desire to stay local, and this group has certainly done that. You've got a few guys that are coming back to South Florida. A couple went to Northeast, come back, and I heard them talking about it the other day and kind of talking to each other in the transfer portal saying, hey, you want to go to FIU? You want to go to FIU? Let's both go back home. Kind of take us through that from your standpoint as Jad and Thomas both decided they wanted to come back down here to South Florida.
Yeah, so Jad and Thomas are phenomenal human beings and players. And this is what I talk to players all the time that want to play here, but it's not going to work out for them in their first year, is that there's a home for everybody. It may not be where you want to go. It may not be Division I even. But if Jad and Thomas would have came here as a freshman, they would have been redshirted or they would have played minimal minutes.
Right.
And then they would have wanted to transfer because the way the transfer portal works, it's crazy. I don't agree with it. I'm not a fan of it. But they would have transferred out to go somewhere to play more because they would have been frustrated after first year. Thomas went to Seton Hall, redshirted, and Jad went to Iona, a smaller Division I school, does very well for themselves and got a lot of experience and playing time. And both of them, over the course of their college careers, were able to build up their profiles. We know where all the Florida kids are going.
Right.
This is not a surprise to us.
You don't lose them.
We knew Jad. We knew Thomas coming out of Weston. We know the guys going to college, coming out of Inter Miami, coming out of Kendall, coming out of Weston, coming out of, you name the South Florida club team. We know where they're all going. That doesn't mean we're not recruiting them. We're tracking them. We're watching them. And to see how their development process takes place if they're not ready for FIU right away. So we tracked Jad. We watched Thomas. And they did really well in their development. They continued to develop. And I got to see Thomas firsthand in person. And I'm like, oh, yeah. No, I like this kid. And then Jad had a lot of success at Iona and then went on to St. John's. and had success there, and they were NCAA tournament team, and we play St. John's, so I know the style of coaching he's used to and if it will translate here or not. So both of those guys have had great college careers so far, but I'm telling you guys, it's just scratching the surface with those two. They've been excellent additions for the spring. They played a lot. It was a really cool moment seeing them play against Inter Miami 2, the second pro team, because those are a lot of young pros. The guys that get drafted in the MLS, they usually go to the second team first and train and develop and get games, and maybe a couple guys will break through, like Yannick Bright, right? Drafted from UNH, went second team. Now he starts for the first team. So yeah, Jad and Thomas are going to be really exciting to watch. They're both very good midfielders. Jad has already Moroccan professional interest because he's dual citizenship. He has a Moroccan citizenship. Jad's going to continue playing after college. It's just hopefully it's in America. If not, he's gonna be playing pro in Morocco, in my opinion. And Thomas is a very technical American, but he has Brazilian roots. And so he has a little bit more of the flair. Jad has a little bit more of that toughness, get stuck in. I'm going to make you fear me. But he can also play football. Thomas is a little bit more flary, a little bit more dangerous, can create some ooh and ah moments with some flicks and tricks. And they're both top human beings. So when they joined us in the spring, I mean, in the first week, you would have thought they were with us all fall.
For sure.
So they were great additions.
Overall, obviously, there's still some finishing to be done. We're sitting here on May 26th. The roster doesn't have to be finalized. But who are some of the guys that you've seen in kind of in that vein where you're fired up about them, you think they can instantly contribute to this FIU team?
We're really fortunate to have Nigel back.
Yeah.
I think everyone on FIU's campus knows Nigel Van Hape.
That's true.
He wins all the awards at the athlete banquets, and he looks like an NFL wide receiver, standing about 6'7". He's well-spoken. He's a fantastic human. We're very fortunate to have him back. We didn't think we were going to. We thought he was going to move on and play professionally. But the way his timeline works, he still has 1 year of eligibility, 1 semester of eligibility, and he wants to maximize that, his college experience, and he wants to go out on a high note. And so, AKA winning trophies, right? Having his best year yet. So he's coming back. To me, he's the best goalkeeper in the conference. He just hasn't been recognized yet. So that is a name that there should be a lot of attention towards. You know, Leonardo came on late for us and became a big, important player. He's the captain of a USL 2 team this summer in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He came from a low college level and came to us in the fall semester and really had to adjust the speed of play and the physicality and the transition and the demands and the training environment. So having a year under his belt, super excited to see what he can do. There's a lot of good players coming back. That's the fun thing about having the job I have.
Yep.
It's like I really genuinely believe in all of them. So I could go through each player and tell you what I'm excited about. We don't have the time on this podcast. So, you know, for Alfonso, diamond in the rough.
Dude.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He's playing this summer with Laredo Heat in the USL 2. Gogo having experience. He's playing USL 2 this summer. He scored a goal in the championship game. He's come on really well. Johan H., I think we're just scratching the surface with him. He's an iceberg. We've only seen the tip of it. There's a lot underneath that we're going to get out of him. Flo, you guys haven't seen Flo play, but Flo's a goalkeeper from Germany that was with us last year.
Yeah.
He's really pushes Nigel. He's a great contributor to our team, but I feel confident to start him at any time, any moment. He got a lot of spring opportunity. Jamil is very dangerous, left-footed, left back. We finally found a position for him, so... Yeah, there's just so many good players that I'm excited about. But the spring guys that nobody knows about, Martin, he's a transfer from Siena. He's freshman of the year.
Yeah.
First time in America, freshman of the year, took his team to NCAA tournament. Every pass went through him. He's a special player. He's come in a lot further ahead than most recruits come in. We've played multiple professional games in the spring where after the game, the coach would pull me aside and say, hey, who's that guy? So he's already generating a lot of interest for himself. And we believe that we can develop him to make him even better than he is now. There's Owen. Owen went very far in the NCAA tournament. He's the captain of his USL 2 team this summer in Fort Lauderdale. He's a guy that also plays in midfield that is very, very dangerous. He's a great leader. He's a great human being. So he was a captain at Hofstra. He played multiple positions. For us, we want him to play as a 10, as an attacking midfielder. And that's what he's playing this summer. So this spring was really getting him used to that position again and being like, no, 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 you're not a utility player.
Right.
You play this position. Do this well. And he's been doing it really well. He's super honest, hardworking kid. But for the new guys that we have coming in, we've announced some of them already, a couple of guys that we haven't announced yet. A lot of excitement. We have two German center backs coming in that have played at the Regionalliga, which is the highest level you can play at without losing eligibility. And in Finn and Mats, both those guys are tall, they're powerful. They both played their youth career playing as midfielders. And then the older they got and the bigger and stronger they got pushed back into the center back role. So a priority for us is being able to build through the lines, play out of the back. And both of those guys are very, very comfortable with the ball at their feet. Another center back we have is Michele, which coach Matteo Gasperoni helped us get from Italy. Again, playing at a very high level, tall, strong, very technical. So we've immediately fortified our back line with those three center backs. And then Matteo Picardo, another Italian. He was a captain at UNH. He has 1 year of eligibility, and he played Italian youth national team. He was a captain at UNH, which I really respect that program. They always do well.
Another one you've seen plenty of.
Yeah, plenty of. And he's an attacking back, that attacking outside back that when you watch him play, you're like, is he a winger? Mm-hmm. Is he in the front line? Because of how dangerous and how high he gets. He's a tremendous leader, which is why he's been the captain everywhere he goes. He's a guy that's really exciting. Then we have an American guy, Santiago Puso, that is playing Fort Lauderdale USL 2 this summer. Man, this guy was All-American at the Division 2 level. He came to our camp a couple years ago, and he was just wasn't ready for the pace of play coming out of youth soccer. Physically, you can tell he didn't hit a growth spurt yet, and he wasn't physically ready. He's grown up a ton. He's crushed it at the Division 2 level. He's gotten stronger. He's gotten faster. His technique has developed, and he's turned into a real goal scorer. So Santiago Puso is a name to remember. He's a very dangerous goal scorer, Colombian roots, but he's from the Fort Lauderdale area. And yeah, man, he's a guy that we hope to help increase our productivity, because that's something we lacked last year. We lacked productivity. And then we have a bunch of other guys I think are going to do really well, but we have an Inter Miami player coming to us. Sergio just won the U19 Inter Miami Dream Cup. He played with the Venezuelan U17 youth national team. He's a starter for the U19 Inter Miami, but he's from Doral. Really excited about having him as a top local product. He believes in the education system and knows, like, hey, man, I'm in this Inter Miami professional track, but I can develop and study at the same time. And if Inter Miami wants me, I can go.
Let's go.
I can go back when I'm ready to become a pro. But I want to play at the college level. I want to grow physically. I want to mature. So Sergio is a really exciting Doral local product that we are excited to see him play as a winger or as a 10. You know, there's a Spanish winger, Mikel, who is an All-American as well. We're spending a lot of our efforts bringing in, replacing big players that are hard to replace, like Eduardo Mustre and Owen Travis. Those guys are almost impossible to replace. But it's exciting because you can mold the team a little bit differently, make a system that will hopefully bring out the best in the guys you have on the roster. So yeah, it's a good mix of internationals, Americans, transfers, true freshmen. We have a little bit of everything. Like I said, the Noah Ark model.
Yeah.
Two freshmen, two Americans, two internationals, two transfers. So it's super fun. We just signed a goalkeeper that is an American. I can't say his name yet because I'm not sure if I'm allowed to yet, but we just signed another American goalkeeper, local product. He was over in England playing for 2 years. He's grown a ton and developed a lot with that international experience of living away from mom and dad, having to do my own laundry, having to cook. He's ready to come back to America and do well at the college scene. So he lives about 30 minutes away from here, and he's an American kid. So, you know, it's a little bit of everything with this recruiting class. But the one thing we want to make sure of is they're high character. We have high character players, high quality players. The majority of them you'll see come from winning environments. They're winners. We're looking for serial winners, guys that aren't surprised when this happens. They expect it by the work that they put in. So a really exciting group going into the fall semester.
Winners and almost always captains in those winning
environments.
Yeah. So a lot of leadership that comes with it.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, because a lot of, especially the guys that are already here, are coming from the transfer portal. This is probably the portaliest group that I think you've had since you've been here. How have you kind of seen that translate in these first few introductory practices where these guys have more collegiate experience? There's been old guys that have come into the program before. You know, international experience means a lot. But these guys are coming from that college environment. I'm curious if you've kind of noticed a difference there.
Look, it's adapt or die in college. And the rules change every semester almost. At home, my boys, I have three little boys, right? 9-year-old, 6-year-old, and a 3-year-old. And they know, like, Russell's don't quit, Russell's don't complain. Those are two of our few rules that we have in the house. They're kind of guide them. Until somebody changes the portal, until somebody changes how NILs work, until somebody changes the age, you know, 5 for 5, right? That's a big change. You have to figure out, okay, these are the rules. It's not about do I agree with it or not.
Yep.
It's how do I have success within this structure, and how do I make sure that we maximize our opportunity for success? Not complaining about, not saying, oh, I don't agree with the transfer portal, so I'm going to put my foot down and I'm not going to recruit from the transfer portal.
Right.
To my personal opinion is that doesn't make sense. As much as I don't agree with everyone can leave whenever they want, as many times as they want, we have to adjust, we have to adapt or die. And so we have a lot of transfers coming from college soccer. Like I said, Santiago, Mikel, Jad, Thomas Selwood, you know, Mateo Camejo, Owen, Martin. We have so many guys coming from other colleges. They understand the setup, the structure. They understand the demands. They know how to balance school and soccer. They know that this isn't like the international model yet where you get a 2-month preseason. If you get 14 days, you should celebrate,
right?
So everything just happens so fast. And, you know, one game you're playing against this type of team from Missouri, and the next day you're on a flight and you're playing this type of team from New York. And then 3 days later, you're playing this type of team from Charlotte. So there's so many different types of styles, and the travel is so intense that usually, and I can speak for my peers across the board, usually guys that are already in the system have a lot more success than first-time internationals because they understand how it works, which is why the transfer portal always will cost you so much more in recruiting financially than it will getting somebody straight from international or somebody straight from a youth club team, right? Domestically, a U19 team. It will always cost you more in the transfer portal because they know how the system works and they've already proven themselves to have some sort of success within our system. It's adapt or die.
Some of the roster we can't fully talk about. The other thing we can't fully talk about yet is the schedule, but I think FIU fans that have followed your program are going to understand more or less what that schedule is going to look like. There's going to be a lot of really challenging games. There's going to be some serious travel, and there's going to be a lot of representation from some of the best conferences in America.
Yeah.
But kind of take us through what has you fired up about this 2026 schedule.
I love that we have big RPI games coming here.
Yeah.
At home. It's very hard to do.
Very.
I can't tell you the amount of teams that are afraid to travel here because of the climate. Because it's not difficult getting a direct flight to Miami. And if Miami doesn't work, do it to Fort Lauderdale. It's not difficult. What they struggle with is the climate. And there, you know, the amount of text message I've had of, hey, I know we're coming to you. We're not doing a 3 o'clock game, right? We're doing a 7 o'clock game. Getting games here is not the easiest, but we have good RPI games coming here. NC State, right? National finalist. Drake, top 75 RPI coming here as well. We have a home and home with St. John's. So we go to them first and then they come to us next. And for alumni, there's always a big rivalry there. That rivalry goes back way before I started coaching soccer. So I'm excited about that being on our schedule. Our conference has gotten stronger with Missouri State. Our conference has gotten stronger with USF, adding Kiefer to their coaching staff to lead the charge at USF. So our conference is getting stronger, whether it be head coaching changes or the addition of Missouri State. Our conference has gotten stronger. You guys have seen how much stronger FAU has gotten over the years. UAB has a new coaching staff that is already starting to turn the program around. FGCU, who is right up the road from us, they have a new coaching staff who I have a ton of respect for, Oliver Twelvetrees, and he does a really good job of flipping programs. So even though you may see some familiar names on our schedule, the level of that program is on the rise or has already risen. And then on top of that, a lot of big RPI games on the schedule, Creighton, NC State, St. John's. These are games that everybody wants to play. So and we've also added some good teams in the state. I've already referenced FGCU and North Florida won their conference last year. So that's going to be a good in-state rivalry as well. So you love to see when Florida teams do well because you want teams in state to do well because you want to play good teams. And you, if the good teams in your state do well, you don't have to travel as far. And it's good for everybody. So I'm rooting for UNF. I'm rooting for FGCU. And we want to continue to play each other. So it's a strong schedule. You can see here how my mind works. I'm always looking at RPI. I'm always looking at who's doing well, who's on the up, who's trending up, who's trending down, who's going to trend up. And we want to have as many home games here as possible. So I think we're 50-50 right now on home and away games. It's going to be fun for the fans, man. I want to make a product that makes the alumni proud. I want our fans to enjoy watching the games, coming to the games. In recruiting, we've also recruited players that I believe will put on a really good product and make the kids say, ooh, and make the parents or the alumni say, man, I really like the maturity of that player. I really like how that player plays. And that kid shook my hand after the game. Mm-hmm. And that kid picked up the trash on the bench. And that kid was doing sprints because he didn't feel like he played as much as he should have. So he did sprints because he cares about the program. Like there's a lot that goes into it. And like I said already, Coach Danny and Coach Mateo do an awesome job helping me organize my thoughts and executing our game plan in recruiting and our game plan when it comes to the fall.
Last one, we'll let you go. We appreciate the time as always. As we sit in your office with all these pro jerseys around us, I always want to give you a chance to brag on your guys and some of the guys that have continued to find their way to the pro level. Lalo Moose today getting back to Mexico. That was a never a doubt situation where he was going to play pro back in his home country. But how much pride is there? How much joy is there when guys come through this program and work their way to the next level?
Yeah, it's so cool, man, because that's the goal, right? We're all human. We all make mistakes. Right. None of us will be perfect. I will never be a perfect coach, but I'm always trying to get better. We'll never coach the perfect player, but we are always trying to help them grow and leave here better than when they got here. We want to make sure that our guys have all the opportunities available to them. It's just, what do you capitalize on in this short window that you have of college soccer? We want all of our guys to graduate. We want all of our guys to play pro. The reality is graduating is a lot more probable than playing pro. But make the most of the time that you have here. And so Lalo Moustre did an awesome job doing that, man. I love he comes here. He's not getting this first team interest in Liga MX, and he has a great youth national team career. He comes to college. He does well in college. And now all of a sudden, Liga MX want him. Mm-hmm. And he does well, and he signs a first team contract. Like, that's awesome. There's multiple ways to accomplish your goal of becoming a professional player. And it's not one size fits all, and it's not one journey. Everybody has a different path. My kids are doing the FIFA sticker books, right? I recruited and coached a kid that is in the FIFA sticker books that is one of the leading goal scorers for Haiti's national team. And now my kids are pulling his sticker out of a CVS pack and putting it in their World Cup binder. Like, how cool is that? And he graduated, and he's representing his country in the greatest tournament in the world of any sport. And so we want that opportunity for all of our guys. And it's super cool to see the guys that have come and gone. You saw Steven Afrifa. Man, the growth that he had as a human being and as a player, it's going to be tough to top that. Because when I came here and saw him from when I got here as a sophomore, not eating breakfast and not really concerned with school or fitness and not really sure of his potential, to him graduating here and being a tremendous player and a fantastic human and now being a great pro, getting the game winner for his team last week, on Apple TV for MLS. You know, my kids are jumping up and down the living room. Oh, Freefa, Freefa. These things are pivotal moments in their life. This is a pivotal time in their life to where I believe you can have a massive impact as a coach, as a leader, to hopefully help them accomplish as many of their goals as possible. But look, in the same token, I got an email or text message for an RSVP to a wedding last month for one of our players that played here at FIU when I first got here, Steven Rayad. And he's right there on that poster, right? Yeah, I still have his poster in my office. And I mean, that means as much to me as a guy going pro. He graduated. He's doing well where he's living up in the Pennsylvania area. and he found the girl of his dreams, and he's getting married, and he's pumped and excited, and he thought to extend the invitation to me because of our relationship. So these things matter so much that we're all not going to accomplish the same thing, but let's enjoy this journey together and let's see how much we can accomplish in the time that we have. Johan Penaranda and Mauro Bravo, who's now working as an agent in Spain after his professional career. David Garcia still playing pro, and he graduated here with 2 degrees. You know, Grant Mackala and Matt Levy won his team a game by saving a PK. The same way we saw him win us games for saving PKs here. And then he just got married as well up in North Carolina. So there's so many successful stories. Man, it's an honor to be able to have this position because we have an opportunity to impact people's lives. And that's what we got to keep reminding ourselves as coaches. We do get measured on wins and losses. At the end of the day, we do get measured on wins and losses. But that can't, as coaches, that can't be our only measuring stick. Matteo Gasparoni coming to Italy, never been to America, never knew about college soccer. He comes here, plays for us, wins trophies, gets his degree, and then he comes back and is a coach. And now he's sharing his experience with the guys that we're recruiting and say, hey, I lived this. I did this. It's changed my life. There's so many names that you can go through that I'm excited and encouraged about. And even in a downtime or even in a tough year or even in a loss, you just think back to all the relationships that have been built and it just gives you excitement and hope for the future. So hey, FIU's on the up, man, period. I'm not just talking men's soccer, football and basketball and baseball and you name it, man. FIU and our president and Scott Carr, they are investing in athletics and they want athletics to have success. We are not on an island. We are not by ourselves. It's not good luck. See you later. They're all invested, man. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a president at soccer games like I do our president at FIU soccer games. Like we play all these teams all over. I never see presidents at their games. I mean, the investment here at FIU is special. We got a lot of special people backing us, supporting us. And it's our job to honor that support by how we play and how we train and how we maximize every opportunity. Like our guys take pride in this community service award.
Right.
Like, listen, we want to win on and off the field. How do you do that? Serve the community. I don't care if you're from here or you're not. You serve the South Florida community, right? Our GPA, highest male team GPA for as long as we've been here. That matters.
Yeah.
Like kill it in the classroom. Control the controllable. So super excited. I could talk to you guys for 4 hours about how much I believe in the guys we have, how much I believe in our staff, how we're going to accomplish the world. But I know we have a limited time and I really appreciate you guys spotlighting men's soccer.
We appreciate you. There's a joy in the program and it always shows when these guys take the pitch. We can't wait. Appreciate you, Coach. Thank you. Always good to catch up with Coach Russell. You heard him mention that poster on the wall. That was a poster of the 2021 FIU men's soccer team. This is coming right out of COVID. And that final game of the regular season that year was against the reigning champion, #1 Marshall, and was my first really big event here at FIU and will forever be one of my favorite games that I've ever called. So you heard a lot of those names that he mentioned going back to then, Johan Peñaranda, all the way to now with Lalo Mustre. Players that have gone pro, players that have lived the dream, and that's fortunately what we get the chance to do every single day, as do the players on the pitch. That's going to do it for us on this edition of the FIU Athletics Podcast. Keep it locked right here, FIUsports.com on your podcast feed. Still so much more to go through. The dog days of summer will be over before you know it. There's a lot to be excited about. But for now, and as always, pause up.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest innovations to create a treatment plan personalized for you, no matter who you are. Our team of orthopedic and sports medicine specialists have the expertise to help you get back out there performing at your best. And with top-notch recovery and physical therapy, you'll be back in the game and living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to pro-level orthopedic care. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/ortho.